I'll be reading one verse from Proverbs, but we'll be looking at many. So if you are interested, keep your Bibles handy that you can flip through Proverbs as often as we consider it today. It's one of the ways of looking at the book of Proverbs, and it's very difficult to develop a sermon from one verse. There are many teachings on related subjects, and really that's what we're looking at today. But Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. The words of the Lord. 12:11. It says this: He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. Let us ask God's blessing upon his words today. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for bringing us safely here together today. Now, as we gather to listen to you speak to us, we pray that you will help your servant, weak as he may be, but accompanied by your Holy Spirit and under the authority that you've given to Jesus through Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us to pay attention to your words that will sink into our hearts, that we will leave here rejoicing, having been instructed by you. Lord, what a delightful thing to be in your presence and to hear you speak to us. So bless what we have done in our communication with you and our singing and our prayers. But now, Lord, speak, for we are listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lessons on work and laziness. Our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, you see evidence of the curse every year when you start pulling weeds and buying cans of weedicides. Or when you see plants struggling and you have to buy those big bags of fertilizers or Miracle-Gro, which is not much of a miracle, but it does help your plants to grow. Or when the bugs start eating your plants and you have to get the gallons of pesticides to spray them. Or it's dry and you need water and you have to find some way of irrigating your fields or your vegetable garden. The curse is everywhere. And then there's another type of curse that we struggle with. What makes things more difficult is the effect of the curse on the body. You get tired. The human body struggles to keep up. Or you get sick. Sicknesses happen. Or you get old and you can't do what you used to do. So you feel the pain of the curse. Work became very hard. Well, there's one more curse that we struggle with. To add to the curse on the land, and to add to the curse on the body. That is the curse of laziness. And Solomon, the wise man, addressed this issue. And that's what we're looking at today, taking a systematic view of this teaching from the book of Proverbs. Our headings are three: the responsibility to work, the rewards of work, and then third, the reality of laziness and how that impacts our responsibility and therefore our rewards. Our goals are that as covenant children of Jesus Christ, and that's where it's going to take its angle, as covenant children of Jesus Christ, you will learn your duty to work well, and you will work well, and you will guard yourself against laziness. Let's first talk about our responsibility to work. Our responsibility to work. Now, when God created man, God gave him the Garden of Eden. And he was not told, lie on your back, enjoy the fruits, don't do anything. No, God gave him the command to work for his glory, for the glory of God. So work is a command from God. You're not to try to get out of work. It's a command, not a suggestion. So no one must ever try to avoid work, and you need to teach work and good work habits to your children from youth. Teach them while they're young so they will develop good working habits and ethics as they grow. Don't wait until they are old. Now, sometimes we forget too that women work hard too. They don't often till the ground, sometimes they do. They don't often get a paycheck, sometimes they do. But they do till. They till the hearts of children. That's a hard job. And they often do it more than the fathers do because they're with their children all day long. And they also wash clothes and they do all the other things in the home. And the elderly work too sometimes, and that of course is a reminder that even the elderly ought to work. You can change the type of work you do, but you must be working. God expects you to, as long as you are able. Now let's talk about the fact of how we work. You're commanded to work, we know that from the garden. So what does the wise man say about working? He says you must work wisely, planning your work. If you've got your Bibles handy, you can turn quickly. You're free to join me. Proverbs 24, verse 27. Proverbs 24, verse 27. He said, prepare your outside work. Make it fit for yourself in the field. And afterward, build your house. Prepare your outside work. Go to work so you can earn money to do the things you need to. Do it in the proper order. Right? So even if you want to enjoy some leisure, you start with working first and saving up your money, not put it on the credit card and make the credit card company rich. You learn to do it wisely. Give priorities to the right thing. Plan your work, work the plan, ask for help if you need to. If you don't plan and work wisely, there's a problem because you are robbing your family, you're robbing your church, you're robbing your friends of the time that you could otherwise be spending with them. Remember one man I was counseling some many years ago. He was paying about $500 a month in interest on a credit card. All that money he was giving to the credit card company because he indulged in things he shouldn't. All of that money is being robbed from his family, from his tithes, from the poor. He did not plan properly. Second, the wise man said you must work honestly. Proverbs chapter 13 now. Proverbs 13. Working honestly, verse 11. He says, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. And he said this because man has a tendency to try to cut corners, especially if he's tired, if he is hungry, or if he wants to save money. And that is always the charge against some people who will be unscrupulous in how they do business. If you do a mechanic, for example, they tend to cut corners. Not the safest thing to do when you're repairing someone's vehicle. What is also true is that money that is gained by dishonest means is never carefully spent. You know, most people who win the lottery, within 2 years, they're either one of two things. They're as broke as they were before, or they're dead. Almost everyone who has won large lotteries end up way worse off than they were before. Because you don't have the value, don't know how to spend. The money was not earned honestly. Lotteries are stolen money. And the people who play lottery are usually the poorest people who do so. And you know, another problem when you're not honest, if you are not honest in your work, it's very difficult to sleep at night, especially if you're a Christian. Guilt comes in and it's difficult to sleep. But then he also said, work so you can share with others. Work so you can share with others. Proverbs 11, verse 24. And here's a beautiful verse. And he puts it in, and it's a proverb, but it's very beautifully put. He says, there is one who scatters, not making a mess here, but rather sharing. The one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but leads to poverty. See, sharing brings joy to the receiver and to you, but it brings joy to the receiver, and he will praise God. Remember the purpose we were made. The purpose of work is to glorify God. It's not, the end is not you and you getting money, but it's the glory of God. So you bring praise to God. Next, he says, work hard. You know, work used to be a lot easier before the fall. But God cursed man and said, work is going to be hard. Proverbs chapter 10 now, verse 4. Proverbs 10, 4, he says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. The slack hand, man, this is a picture of the man who does not want to work hard. You know, you have to grip the hammer, you have to grip the tools, whatever you're using. But the one who's, you're never going to get the force behind it if your hand is slack. You know how difficult it is to grow bug-free and weed-free vegetables. You have to go out there in the sun and weed, get rid of the weeds, take care of the plants. It takes work, and then you enjoy the benefits. One of the things they're doing now, I saw this past week in the U.S., where they literally have to import billions of bees in California to fertilize some of the fruit crops there. You think, I don't know if anyone has fun with bees, because I know what they can do. It's hard work, but we do it because that's what's necessary. So we have this command then in God's word through Solomon. We have that command to work. We have a responsibility to work. But we also have the rewards for work. And that's the second point. How he encourages us. What do you get from working? Well, when you work, you save for your family. You save your family from hunger. You save up so that you have enough so that you can help the poor. That's the first and most obvious thing. Let me show you how many times Solomon talks about this. I'll just give you four examples. Proverbs 16:26. Proverbs 16:26, he says, the person who labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on. So the cure for hunger is work. It's not guaranteed income, like some of the politicians in Ottawa says should happen. Let people starve and they will find a way to work. Proverbs 12:11, first part. Proverbs 12:11, he says, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread. Jump ahead, Proverbs 28:19. Proverbs 28:19, he says, he who tills his land will have plenty of bread. And then back in 27:18, whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. The one who takes care of the fig tree will eat its fruit. And that's the implication there, is not just that you plant something, but figs are prone to worms and other things eating its leaves. And you'd have to take the time to smoke it. Sometimes light the smoke on it to kill the worms that are on it, so the leaves can grow and the buds and eventual fruit. You take care of it, there's a reward for doing so. So the person must work because he needs to take care of his family and he needs to help the poor. Second, when you work, even more than surviving and putting food in your bellies, you will be raised up or honored by God. And when you're raised up and honored by God before the world, ultimately, God will be glorified. Proverbs 22, verse 29 says, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. In other words, there's a due exaltation of people who work hard so they can provide for others. One of the worst things people can say about a man is that he never provided, he did not provide sufficiently for his family, or he was lazy. I know in some of our communities it's not very common to find that, but it's becoming more and more a problem, and that's why there's this craving for socialism in our society, where those who refuse to work, even refuse to work, will be supported. Third, work and you will preserve a culture of life. Proverbs 10 now, verse 16, he says this: the labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. The labor of the righteous leads to life. When you work, you have enough to supply your needs. And as a result of that, life is able to continue. And as a result of that, there will be people who will be able to go and preach the gospel. When you have money and you support the work of the Lord, the mission work continues, hearts are converted to God, and they will sing the praises of God. So you're promoting a culture of life, even in work. And by the way, one of the reasons women usually kill their babies, because they said, we don't have money. One of the ways to have money is to work. There are all the problems with abortions, of course, but it's that desire to be lazy instead of work, which we will talk about next. There's also a sense of accomplishment, number four. When you work, you have a sense of accomplishments. One of the downside in modern society is when people stop their regular jobs and they don't do anything else, they die. Retirement, when you slow down from your work, and that's all you do, you change jobs as you get older, you don't stop working. A man who doesn't work when he could is sinning against God. There's nothing in the scriptures that says, well, I've reached 65, I'll put my pen down and I'll spend the rest of the time going on the beach in Florida looking for metal or gold coins or whatever they look for there. No, you change jobs. You still have to work. You might work less, but you continue to work, right? Because that's what God expects. And that's where you get that sense of accomplishment. But if someone gets done with work or retires and doesn't have anything else to do, they don't last very long because there's no sense of accomplishment. God made us with the ability and the desire to work and the command to work, and we should. So there's one more thing about the rewards of work, and it's one of the, put in a negative way, those who stop working when they are able to work will never have a proper sense of the Sabbath. See, the Sabbath was intended, 6 days you shall loiter? Not at all. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and the seventh day is a day of rest. That's the Sabbath. You will appreciate the Sabbath more when you work. And you know, your work could be on the computer, encouraging people, making phone calls, doing little things, babysitting, whatever you need to do, make sure you labor, because that's what God intended for us if we have health. Now we come to our third point. We have a call, the responsibility to work, which is a command from God. We have the rewards to work. There are many rewards. Most of all, God is glorified, people are blessed, your family is provided for, you have a sense of accomplishment, you live longer. But then we have this problem. Sometimes people don't do that. The first question we have to ask then, why is a man sometimes lazy? I'll highlight four reasons why a man sometimes is lazy. First of all, sometimes a man thinks work should be easy and refuses to work hard. I know a man who had 6 jobs in about 3 months, And every job there was some problem, how hard it was to stand up or to walk or to climb. That's a lot of jobs in a short period of time. Because he thinks work should be easy. He thinks that work should be easy because he ignores the fall of man and that God cursed Adam and said, your work will be hard. And then God cursed Cain and said, your work will be even harder. It will be backbreaking work. In the sweat of your face, you will eat bread. Some don't even want to sweat. So they think work should be easy. You know, the Jews had a running joke where it would say, when God created the world, he had a whole pile of stones and he just dropped them in Israel. And they have to move all those stones before they can get the land to work. It was a picture of backbreaking work. Second reason, sometimes people are lazy. Sometimes a man is preoccupied with frivolity, with the overuse of entertainment, of sports, watching television, playing games, or sometimes other foolish activities. And this is becoming more and more common in the present generation because we become indulgent like all the other generations that have fallen, all the great societies that have fallen, was because people became preoccupied, like in the days of Rome or Greece. Those empires fell not because of outward conquering, but internal destruction from their own laziness and indulgence in frivolous things. Proverbs 28, verse 19 says this. It says, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. What an interesting way of putting it. You pursue that, you will have poverty enough. And you know, the older generation would have known the difficulty of hard work. Those coming out of the Second World War, even more so, you work for what you have. Nothing was given to you. But now people become, because we have gained wealth, spend more time on frivolous things and less time on work. One man says the motto today of young people is that work should be limited while partying should be plenty. But God says the man who does not work should not eat. Third reason people become lazy. Sometimes a man wants to get rich using deceptive or illegal work instead of faithfully working. So he would shave his measuring weights to rob others. Old thing that was used, instead of working harder, you just cut under the weight, you remove the inside of the iron and you put in a softer metal so you can get an ounce off of every pound. That's what people who are drug dealers do. They cut corners. I remember watching a lady once on a television program and she was so defiant. She says, why would my son go to McDonald's and work for minimum wage when he could make 20 times that much selling drugs? As long as he doesn't use it. That was her argument. That's cutting corners. That's a form of laziness. You know, the reputation that many people have, the scammers. You think of, watch some documentaries sometime on what the people in India do. Some of the worst scammers in the history of scamming. And they will make up these elaborate plans of robbing people. Cutting corners. Well, what does the wise man say? Proverbs 11:18. He says, the wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. What he's implying there is that the wicked man will not have a sure reward, at least not a good one. He will get a reward, but not a good one. It's all cutting corners. Proverbs 20:13 says, do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with bread. It doesn't mean just wake up. It means wake up and do some work, and you will be satisfied with bread. And there's a fourth reason some people are lazy. Sometimes a man becomes jealous when he sees other people having success, and he doesn't want to work because he doesn't like that. When you think about that, Proverbs 2:12 says, the wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. You covet the catch, whether it's birds or whether it's fish. You look and say, how did they get so much? You are envious. That's what in Psalm 73 talks about. Envious of the wicked when he sees what they're doing. So you use that as a justification for saying, well, how could they get so much? And I work hard, I don't get as much as they get, so I'm not going to work. I'm going to be lazy. Now, what's the result of this laziness? The results of the laziness. First of all, the lazy man is a destroyer of his family, his church, and his society. As I mentioned, great societies often fall apart when men move to entertainment and give up the hard work. It's particularly noticeable in from Nineveh, the Assyrian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, where the king was boasting about how much wealth he had stored in, until he ticked off the Alexander the Great, the Greek or the Macedonian Empire. They came, and then the Macedonian or Greek Empire, same problem. They became self-indulgent. They were defeated. Then the Romans came. The Romans did the same thing, and it's been a trend throughout history. When people become lazy, it destroys. That's what killed communism. The promise of communism is that everyone will be successful, everyone will have enough. Well, if there's no incentive to work hard, people didn't. I saw some of the worst possible fields and communes in Ukraine, times I visited there, where the land with the richest soil in the world had some of the worst production in the communal fields. And you see them harvesting potatoes that are about this big. That's the size of the big potatoes. They were not like baby potatoes you sell for luxury. That's all they got, because they did not take care of their fields. And everyone suffers as a result. Proverbs 18 verse 9 says, "He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer." A great destroyer. I know too, some of you may cringe when you hear this, as I cringe myself when I say it, but you need to work so the government can get taxes to do the work that it should. That's part of our call as citizens of the country. So laziness even affects the government, not just your family, not just your church, but the state as well. Second result of laziness, the lazy man will become a slave to welfare, a slave to family, a slave to friends. Proverbs 12:24 says this, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor." He'll become a slave. Third, a lazy man becomes poor, and sometimes suddenly. Proverbs 14 verse 23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty." Wasting time talking. Now we can substitute that to scrolling through your feed or whatever social media you're on. You're not talking directly, but you could be wasting so much time or watching those entertainment videos of cats doing funny things, and when you could be doing something to earn. And suddenly you realize other people are advancing and you have nothing, or you have little. Here's the warning. Also, Proverbs 23, verse 21 says this, "For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man in rags." You love sleep, you love eating, you love drinking, you will end up in rags. Think about that even today, where people spend an enormous amount of money in food, not just at home, but especially in restaurants. the cost of eating out is extremely high, and yet many people focus or don't like to cook, the younger people especially. Uber Eats, that's what they call it, and it shows up even at your door. Well, think of how you use your money, and think about how much is lacking. One more, Proverbs 6:9 says, "How long will you slumber, O sluggard?" That's being sleepy. "When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." Judy Rogers, if you know who she is, she described it well. She says, poverty will come like a man with a gun. You can't stop a bullet with your body. Because of lack of savings, if a man has a sudden expense, he becomes a pauper. And they look at this, they tell you should have at least 6 months of savings to be able to survive, and many people were about 2 weeks on average. If they didn't work for 2 weeks, they were in debt. There's the danger. There's the danger. But there's one more. A lazy man kills himself by his laziness. Not just become poor, but it could be the cause of his ultimate destruction. Proverbs 21 verse 25 says, "The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor." He knew what he was talking about, and it still happens today. The politicians come up with man has a right to eat. The Bible says a man has a right to starve. No right to food. Now we help the poor and needy, we must. That's part of a compassion. And God expects you to do so. But God also expects you to be fair to that man and watch him starve if he refuses to work. That's part of your Christian love for that man. And love is tough. But there's one more thing about laziness. We talked about the cause of laziness and the results of laziness, but I also want to add something before I conclude. There's a danger of a man who is not lazy, but a man who overworks. See, overworking can make you lose everything. In fact, overworking can be a great evil. What do I mean by that? Well, Proverbs 28 verse 22 says this, "A man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him." In other words, he is obsessing with work that he has no time for other things. So he starts with robbing God. Even if his body is in church on Sunday, his mind isn't. His soul isn't. He's thinking about work or exhausted from work. And God removes his blessing from him. It also robs the family. Man has no time. I've had this discussion with a number of women who feel completely alone because their husbands are workaholics. That's really no different from a man who is drunk and has no time for his wife, for his children. This is a very serious one to think about, especially sometimes from the older generation where you have a work ethic, but it must never come at the sacrifice of other things. Remember what Solomon went through. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. He accomplished many things, and then he realized it was all what? Vanity. Vexations of the spirit. Vanity of vanity, as the New King James says. He had great accomplishment, great buildings, great army that he built, great advances in horticultural and agricultural studies. He brought in all kinds of musicians, was famous all around the world, that people would travel 6 months in one direction just to meet him. And then he looked at the end, look what happened to his family. He lost 10 and a half of the tribes of Israel, because he had become preoccupied with work at the expense of what God called him to do. Let's conclude. All men, women, and children, young and old, have a responsibility to work because of the fall. And this work is often hard. But there's a great reward for work. You can take care of your family, you can help the poor. Above all, you can bring glory to God as you can help the kingdom to expand. Remember, Adam failed when God said, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion over the earth. It takes work. It takes money in order to do so. If you don't work and run after frivolous things, instead, you bring harm to your family, you weaken the church, you dishonor yourself, you bring shame to God. You even ruin your country. And that's what has killed many countries. People don't want to work. If you don't work, you become a slave. A slave to your passion, and then you become a slave to others. And one of the things we know about slaves is that they don't have freedom to do all the things they would like to do. You can't be a servant to the King in heaven because you're a servant to people on earth. So, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what will motivate you to work as you should? You have to be remade. And that's where it starts, right? This is how the gospel comes into a sermon like this. To be able to do what God expects you to do, you have to be remade in the image of Jesus Christ. If you aren't, you will never be able to view things the same way. Getting money would be simple, transactional. But we have a goal in mind, the glory of God. Taking care of yourself, taking care of your family, taking care of the church, taking care of the state. If you are lazy, you will cut corners, you will steal. But work is a creation mandate. And you must work. But keep in mind, it must be balanced. You must be a companion to your spouse. You must teach your children. You must worship God. You must promote the gospel. Don't become focused on just one area of your life and ignore others as Solomon erred. And be around those who live life in balance. This is what will help you to live your life in balance. And if you're not a Christian, let me repeat one point I've made. Work is to be done for the glory of God. And even if you have worked faithfully and you've worked hard and you've used your time well, you cannot say you've worked for the glory of God. You can only work for the glory of God if your heart has been changed, because if it's not done from faith, the Bible says it's a sin. So I urge you today, if you are not God's child, ask him to make you his child. Remember, I said you have to be remade before you can do, before you can live life in balance, before you can work that will glorify him. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your words. Thank you for your people who have given attention to it. We know, Lord, sometimes we need to be reminded, and we thank you for that. Sometimes we need to be rebuked when we're not doing it. And sometimes we need to be encouraged to continue doing what we've done. Whatever we need today, Lord, meet that need so that this year we will commit to working better, working harder, working more balanced lives so that we can bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name.